Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. And it's just me for now because I've got a guest, special guest joining us, Matthew of Botchamania. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing, buddy?
Hi, Joe. I'm coming down from my first time doing mushrooms. So it's a fantastic time to want to do this. It's actually not a good time. Because of the thing I just said, I feel like a deflated balloon.
But that my sounds like Joe the perfect time to do it.
We should do it. Yeah, that's exactly what he said. Isn't he a tinker?
If it helps, yeah, I am getting high literally right now.
Good. Well, I'm glad we're syncing up, kind of. Not syncing up at the exact time of highness, because this would make the worst podcast of all time. Second worst. I forget Vince Russo still does his.
But it would have been, Jesus.
It would have been a something. I mean, self-flagellating, I believe.
But yes,
I had a very nice time today. What? Sometimes I combine two words. It's cool if you're a Terry Pratchett-style person that writes these down. If you just say out of your mouth, you just sound like an imbecile. What's it called you pat yourself on the back? Self-congratulate, that's not the word.
Yeah, though. Pat yourself on the back.
Self-flagellating.
Maybe, something like that.
It would be audio equivalent of tossing yourself off and going, listen to this, if we were both that high. But thankfully, you are getting high and I am coming up.
I'm up.
Because the storms here are bad in England. Exactly, the elevators.
How is England right now? Because my area of the world just got its ass kicked by like a foot of snow.
Right. We're getting an aftermath of that. They're saying it's the return of the worst storm in living memory, the Beast from the East from 2018. And yes, as somebody who was alive and awake during that time, that was a bitch of a storm. It's bad when a storm gets on Wikipedia page. But at least that one killed five-star wrestling. This one's just killed my day. So I went, well, I've got these waiting for me. Might as well do them now whilst playing Astro Bot and actually take a day off, a proper day off. You're allowed to have these, I keep on telling myself. And feels good. It was interesting because there's a few people I know at MAG, which is a thing that we met at and went to recently.
Indeed.
I had fun with it, which is what has inspired me to go and get them. I won't say their names in case, you know, their governments are a bit more strict on these things than ours are. But they said that it was a thing that they needed to do to get their head straight, just to put them in the mindset and then realize, you know, have that revelation. Like, I'm not on the right path. I need to do something, you know. I need to go to space to escape capitalism or whatever it is that they need to do. So I took mine today, and it was nice because I didn't have any crazy freakouts, no hallucinations even, which apparently I'm immune to, which is for the best. But also,
you're immune to hallucinations?
I'm quite happy. I think so. I just laugh if I see something I know is not supposed to be happening. I hallucinated geese one time.
How did that go? Now I want to know what it's like to hallucinate geese.
Sorry, my mum is messaging me. She's having to type up something for her work, so I've had to help her install OpenOffice, which you didn't know. She doesn't have Word. She said she was prepared to, before I said this, she was prepared to write down the things she had to do for work and take a photo of it and send it to them. I went, wait, there might be another way.
Yay! Yo. Big shout out. Big Adam just came in with a sub on the Twitches. Thank you, Big Adam. If you want to join us, just let us know. We'd love to have you in here chit-chatting with us. Because we've got Matthew here, and we're going to chat a little bit about MAGFest. You flew in for this. You came in. It's been a while. When was the last time you were here for MAG?
2016. I know this because I have the emails that I sent building up to the 2017 one where me and Matt with Muscles were going to be doing a watch-along of Mortal Kombat Annihilation. But I was in a different place then, and I went, spend a lot of money for this shit. Let me look and see if Magfest, the good people at Magfest, who notoriously have that reputation of helping their guests, you know, the VIP treatment, the red carpet will be thrown out to you. And a little mint coffee candy will be on your pillows if you're lucky. Yeah, right. But I still sent him a message going, look, I'm not being funny here, but I'm on the schedule to be doing this lovely thing with a lovely person that I enjoy making lovely stuff with. Do we get anything for this? And I got a lovely email from someone saying, well, we could give you a room for that one day that you're down for the doing the panel.
Really?
Which I still wonder and ponder over because of like, that might as well be nothing. I'm not here for one day. And wait, I'd have to get a room for the other days, get all my stuff in that room, take it all out for the other, for that one day, and then move it all back the evening. I'm like, what the fuck?
That is so
plus, dumb. I'm sure that room would have been wonderful, you know, the green room slash cum room or whatever it was going to be. Oh, absolutely. I'm sure it was just a, you know, where all the band's equipment were or something. I'll be right next to an NBA Jam 99 cabinet and whatever. So I turned down their polite offer and didn't think about it. Then obviously there were many changes to Magfest and the inner workings of it. And there are people who were part of the old guard who were no longer a part of it. So I was Facebook friends with a lot of those people. I read all those and went, well, Magfest must suck. I look at my good friends who've been horribly treated and cast out, like Azrael. I will not be part of this, blah, blah, blah. You know, Magfest sucks now, blah, blah, blah. And it was only the last two or so years where the mood seemed to change and people were saying positive things about it. Not the same people that were talking about beforehand, because obviously those bridges are burned. But just one of the people who were going that I was also friends with, that it was nice. It was good. It was a wondrous, ponderous time we have. And it looks like I might be missing out by not going back to it. So I think it's all part of where you are in life in terms of age and place and everything else. If you're happy with the concept of change or not, are you okay with things not being what they were? Change how they're developing and changing? I am with that.
That is a big thing with MAGFest because this was its 23rd event. And it started with 300 people, and now they have to cap it. Sales capped months in advance to 25,000. And it has just exploded. And now I think the hardest part with MAGFest now is just getting there because of how quick it's selling out, how hard it is to get rooms, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was another thing I realized with my main source of getting a room and stuff like that guaranteed on the outskirts. There was also no guarantee I'd be able to get myself a room or anything there. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to pay for the flight. And then come there and it's like, sorry, Mary, no room at the inn. So then I know other people, nudge, wink, wink, who couldn't guarantee me a room. I was like, well, I'll definitely come out for that then. But you're right, yes, it's not the easiest of journeys, but I mean, Newcastle to Heathrow to JFK, New York City, and then JFK to Reagan. Like it's just presidents to presidents. Then you get the FDR, then you get the Lincoln.
Can't wait for the Trump International Airport in shithole Wyoming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, get the fat guy that fell in the bath.
How long of a flight is it over here?
It's like 45 minutes to London, and then it's 8 hours London and JFK. And then the JFK one was like 2 hours, which I was surprised because I'm like, I'm in America. Isn't this shit all close together? I'm in a plane. Oh, come on, man. Mush. But yeah, though. So the journey's fine. I like traveling. Not everyone does, but I realized that people say that you get more right and conservative the older you get. And I realized, yeah, I am getting that. But my one conservative right-wing theory is, thought was that if you're, if the kid's younger than five, they should have to be in a special like mini plane that dangles out of the plane so it doesn't just
the plane. Did you deal with any just
like
almost
like a mascot? Oh yeah, I mean, barely here. Gladiator 2. I was, anyway, what a first world problem. But I was just thinking, like yeah, this should just happen.
You couldn't hear Gladiator 2.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, what a disappointment that was. But yeah, like an inflatable castle that the kids could play with at the time of their lives, just away from the other passengers. I'd be all right with that. So yes, I apologize for my Tory beliefs, but that's one I would stick to. Damn
the top of the plane.
They can't take, yeah, there we go, away from the humans.
We lost another one.
Oh, anyone care? Everyone just shrugs and goes back to watching.
Is it mine? Six. Oh, fuck. Find out when we get there, I guess.
Yeah. So it's easy for me, and I'm very petite, so it's like sitting in coach doesn't bother me. It's always like, I've never been sat next to someone smaller than me on a plane. It's always, you know, hulking brutes. 5'6".
I need to sit next to you on a plane because, like, yes. I was considering booking into a plane ticket to go to VGMCon later this year, just because I liked it the first time I went, and I really don't want to do another 20-hour train ride, but I would need two seats because I'm a big dude, and I don't want to get a single seat and then be cramped next to some poor old lady who has to deal with some fat dude's folds laying on her arm.
Bless you. The one time I got a train in America, but by the way, I should point out, I should probably put like big people love me in my bio online, but especially on a train, but not always. But when I was on a train the one time, because the building want to drive me to wherever the hell it was, even though he said he would. So he says, fuck it, I'll drive it to the train station. I go, that's fine. We have trains in England. Giant, lovely seats. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe how big the seats are compared to English trains. I guess they want people to use them. But I was really tired and I just started leaning, you know, instinctively that way to this poor guy. He had to, like, at the very end, we're just about to, like, our mouths about to embrace, and you said, excuse me, pal. I was like, oh, sorry. I was also the same train I went on when I went to the bit where they serve stuff. And I went to the woman and said, hi, can I have a white coffee, please? And I don't know what the fuck was up with this woman, but this woman yelled loud enough for everyone in the carriage to hear, "Ah, hon, we don't call them white coffee because it's racial." And I'm like, what the fuck are you yelling? Just call it coffee with milk. And I'm like, why are you yelling this? Madam, have I done something to upset you?
Oh, my God.
Like, first of all, I disagree strongly with this, but I'll shut up for the sake of convenience. It's like, well, why are you yelling it? People go, because I'm motherfucking racist over here.
The camera's pointing at you.
Think you're too good for a black coffee. I'm like, that's not what it means.
TMZ's like, botchmania guy, racist on train. What am I doing? I don't know.
Yeah, I thought this was England. I'm sorry. It's not racist in my home country. That's the quote they put over my face. A horrible looking photo of me.
You got to find a good picture of you for this episode. I'll just use the picture of us sitting next to each other.
I was going
to
say, that would be a beautiful photo. Just me and you and now living in Brace.
Yeah.
I'm not even on a train or a plane or even a little inflatable balloon out the back. So the kids in first class aren't disturbed by our ramblings.
We're on the plane's bouncy castle on the top.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder if people have started doing, try to do a podcast on planes and they're like sat in coach. What a piece of shit thing to do. Yeah, I would just like to wait how long they could do it until someone turns around and goes, yo, can you shut the fuck up?
What's up, everyone? This is Chad and I'm Bryce and we're here to talk to you about.
You shut the fuck up.
This is Pilot Bob. He hasn't seen The Great American Bash yet, so we'd appreciate the podcasters if they kept the spoilers to a minimum.
Oh yeah, what are you gonna do?
How great would it be if they showed live shit pay-per-views on a fucking plane? Yeah, you imagine watching the Royal only one with that's a plane good full of other people.
I was going to say, if they showed Royal Rumble 2014, people are like, fuck it, crash the plane.
That's harsh.
Tell the pilot we're going to make a quick landing at Titan Towers.
Oh, God.
No, I can see the appeal of everyone watching one thing in sync. That'd be nice. I think it's what they used to do on buses and coach, because when I was young, we my parents split up early. So we travel on the coach back and forth. And the one film they showed, and this is every 2 weeks I get this, was Mrs. Doubtfire. So I used to look forward to, because I like Robin Williams. I'm a kid in the 90s, so obviously Robin Williams is in my fave five. So I get excited to see it every time. But my mum sometimes would join us for the journey. She'd be like, oh, no, you're kidding me, not again. For the love of God, like, why do they got one VHS tape? So, yeah. The transportation was absolutely fine, because, again, the pilots were doing all the work, and I like the travel. And I told you, didn't I? I got the Uber from Reagan to the Gaylord, and I put the Uber share option just in case anybody was doing the same thing as me and go at the same place. And lo and behold, yeah, picked up a guy who, his name was Jacob, didn't see in the rest of the mag, and I don't think any like other details of his name. And he struggled to open the door to get in, and he had a My Little Pony shirt on. So when he did get in, I just said, I don't even need to ask if you're going to MAGFest. Those two clues were enough. And he didn't go, how did you know? He was like, yeah, bro. He seemed to be a big Silver Gunner fan. So it helped they had a lovely time, because I really enjoyed their set.
There were some really good concerts this year, too.
Oh, absolutely. I had a quick look at the MAGFest Reddit, because usually I enjoy reading the feedback threads. There wasn't one this year, so I have to create one myself. And just like, hi, it's Mod here. Pay no attention to the username. Just, you know, give me your thoughts, because I like reading those and seeing the different adventures people would have at MAGFest, because there's so many things on. You miss a lot of stuff there. But I'm so glad that I went and chilled in your room for a bit, because, again, it's very tiring. But, again, I think you and other people said the same thing. I don't know anything about that game series. I was upset because I got my hopes up going, wait, Tiberian Sons? That's a Command & Conquer reference. Are we going to, is he going to be playing? It's just that one series. Okay, there's no Command & Conquer. I'm going upstairs then. And then I was just watching it along on Twitch with the amount of instruments on stage synced up to the video and the cutscenes. And I'm like, I think you and everybody else said the same thing. God, I wish I was into this series. This would be amazing. Like saying Prince during the Purple Rain tour.
Are amazing. I'm just not familiar with source material from Ace Combat. Like, the music is great. It just doesn't speak to me because I'm not familiar with it. When I listen to some of Tiberian Sun's other projects, you know, they have a cover of One Winged Angel, and that's amazing. They have a Dancing Mad. That's amazing. They do the Goosebumps theme.
Yay.
They do the Fox Sports theme for whatever reason.
Oh, the NFL one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I'm going to have to go check that out. I love that song. I think of any time I've been in America and I've heard that playing and it's been Fox replays, I'm like, yo, that's the song. what Hall of Fame great intro to a TV show. But yes, so that was great. But it was just the display they had on Twitch, just the synced up and the animations and the cutscenes and just how Metal Gear Solid it all felt. Like, this is the play.
I think Nate Horfall's the commander the visuals can on that. Pilot this. It was, oh, such a good job with the visuals and the lighting, everything. They put together an insane show. But, yeah, they have done full Command & Conquer set lists.
They did one of the years I didn't come, which I'm furious about.
With Frank Klepacki.
Yes, goddamn. Yeah, because I was what was the name of the person you said who did the videos? Because I had a lovely time to talk to him.
Nate Horsfall.
Nate was God, let me just check and make sure that's that's him. God, he was so lovely and talkative on Monday when I got a chance to speak to him, because I went to Ando's, and he was just talking about the stuff he did and this, and he even said, I brought that up, like, oh my God, I would have loved to, like, Red Alert's really big in England, like we fucking love that series. And he said he isn't familiar with it. So when he made that video, the wars and stuff like that, he just went into the comments of the games and, like, you know, when people upload the soundtracks to YouTube, and he just read the comments. And there were so many that were just quoting the people. There's so many little units and army things. It's like, you know, standing by, you know, yeah, keep them coming, and all the other rest like that. So that's what you put on screen. And I just went, wow, you nailed it. Yeah, Command & Conquer Red Alert fans love nothing more than just saying the lines from the games. Say, yes, we do love that. Well done. Good job. He was so nice, Nate, along with all the other people who ventured into, you know, the wonderful place that was JoeCam. JoeCamland.
Oh, man. Our room was insane, man.
Like, yeah, we had the hard cam.
I mean, the first night we were there, we had a dynamite party. And I will be honest, I didn't know anybody in there.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, I didn't know who those people were either. Oh, it's great that you didn't know.
It was I posted on the MAGFest 21 Plus, hey, I'm going to watch Dynamite. Who wants to watch? And then people show up and I'm like, I wonder how many people are going to pop in and be like, dude, that fucking Matthew? Just you sitting in the corner.
Nice. Hello. I'm glad you did it. Yeah, I love your impression of me. Yeah, and it was also great because, like, ladies and gentlemen, please rise for a local hero, a legend, Jim Ross, and see, like, real American black people. Y'all going, boo, fuck that motherfucker. I'm like, yay! Oh, and they were heckling him remorselessly through that entire show. It was beautiful.
I love watching wrestling in a group setting. It is such a different experience watching with a group of people than sitting at home watching by yourself on TV.
100%.
And you've been to a number of shows, because you are known as the Botchamania guy. For the people who don't know what Botchamania is, Matthew, tell us, what is Botchamania?
Oh, sorry. oh, hello. I'm the Botchamania guy. Howdy, howdy, hello. Howdy. Botchamania is a dumb video series. Let's do that. Just do an interview. And it's just you pretending to be me.
All right. You ask me the question.
Okay. Hey, Matthew. What is Botchamania for the people who don't know?
Well, Joe, Botchamania is a series of videos where I take wrestlers and video game music and make hundreds of thousands of views. How many views do you get, Joe?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You sound like when Homer pretends to be Mr. Burns.
My name is Mr. Botchamania. I believe you have a message
hello
for me.
There.
Yeah.
My name is
Mr. Botchamania. Hi, Mr. Botchamania. It's from WWE. They say, go fuck yourselves.
Oh. Joe, it's for you.
Somewhere between dumb Homer and George Decay. I'll take it.
How many years have you been doing this?
Next year will be the 20th.
Damn.
How sad is that? No, it's good. Hey, great. I'm being
super. We're hitting 13 with this show in just a week.
Hell yeah.
So.
Woo. Any plans?
Just a bunch of people joining and farting around and talking.
Good.
And a new theme song we're working on. So.
Good. I can't wait if you'd be more profitable than OpenAI.
Oh, we already are.
Yeah, that's all you're posed.
Big Adam says, my tenure with Mag and Matthew's tenure with Botchamania is the same length. Let's fucking go.
I think that's the only time me and Adam will say the same length and it'll mean something. Thank you, Big Adam. I'm sorry you're not doing well, but we're here for you. I don't know my schedule yet for regards to hanging out with you in jolly old England. I'm sorry that you've not only showed up at an awkward time in your life, but the fucking storm fucking sucks over here.
Oh,
no. I'm sorry, Big Adam. Get yourself some of our magnificent food choices. I'm sure that'll cheer. Oh, no. You guys hate our food. Adam, why are you coming again? Just watch Mr. Bean. back home. It's way easier.
Oh, God.
And healthier.
I do appreciate the fact that Adam just dealt with a huge storm here. Now he's going over there to deal with a huge storm.
Yeah, he's literally riding the wave like Kurt Russell in Escape from L.A. I'm sorry for bringing that up. But love you, Big Adam.
Escape from L.A. is a good soundtrack, though.
Amazing soundtrack, amazing cast. It just sits there not doing much.
Yeah, movie's not good, but music, damn, good soundtrack.
What's on that? It's White Zombie, Escape from L.A.
Tool, run, Stabbing Westward, run, Gravity Kills, away. Deftones, Tori Amos.
Who are Gravity Kills again?
Gravity Kills, they were first on the Mortal Kombat soundtrack with the song Goodbye.
Oh, that's how I know them. Thank you.
I love the band Gravity Kills so, so much.
It's good you say that. Yesterday when I was sober, I was looking at, I don't know, don't ask me why these things come up, but there was a magazine over here. It still is around, but not to the degree it used to be. Kerrang! Magazine. That's how I got into heavy rock and metal and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And they had every few months, they'd have a free CD sampler. It's like, oh, cool. And looking, and I must have played that CD fucking dozens of times because it was like, oh, I like that band. And like, you know, you remember that stuff back then when it wasn't everything on your phone. So you're like, oh, cool. So yeah, I remember those names even decades later. So I'm looking through on Wikipedia what happened to these bands, and some of them are like still going, and others is like, well, the singer left and the band realized they didn't have anybody else, so they all did something else in their lives. And to a kid, you'd be like, oh, it's kind of heartbreaking. But now as an adult, I'm like, oh, yeah, I get it. I just look around and go, well, we suck now. That was the main bit, you know.
My history with Gravity Kills has gotten very weird in recent years. A couple years ago, they were supposed to do like a reunion concert in St. Louis, and I was supposed to head out and catch the show, meet the band, all that kind of fun stuff. But one of our cats passed and my grandmother passed, so I had to skip the trip. Fast forward a little bit later, I was having a rough time on Facebook the one day and just made like a vague booking post of shitty shit. And out of nowhere, I get a DM from Jeff Scheel, the singer of Gravity Kills, that just says, fucking call me, with a phone number. I'm like, dude, you got your own shit. I'm like, yeah, you don't need to. I'm just having one of those days. And he replies again, fucking call me. And then I talked to him for like an
gravity
hour and a half.
Kill you.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So what was the conversation?
Just about life. And
don't ever tweet about me again, motherfucker.
the struggles I was going through, the struggles that he went through in his life with the band, and you know, when that all ended and he kind of switched over to being a dad, and you know, they're looking at potentially doing music again, but they're not sure. Mm. So yeah, it's they might be doing music again of all bands. I'll be very excited.
Well, that's nice. And I like bands can take the time out for that. It's funny you say that. Like, shit, of all people, my dad still buys CDs and I like that he's still got that passion. And with the bands he likes seeing, he's got this, he's like me, you know, I don't know if you have this joke because you're, how old are you now?
44 right now. In a month and a half, I'll be 45.
Cool. I'm 38, but I'll put ourselves in, you know, same group here where it's like, I think we're both pretty much okay and accepting lovely gentlemen who are okay with the changes in the world and things like that. But we also like the stuff that we grew up with.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing this with my dad who still pays real money for real CDs for bands like Hawkwind, which have been going on for over 50 years and stuff like that. And I'm really happy he's still into it. And I fully understand it. But he said he bought CD off The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. You might know from there. Do you know their hit single? Even if you don't name the band, you'll definitely have heard their song, Fire. Da, 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 I'll take you to burn. Fire. That was a good job pretending. Sorry. I thought that was a universal hit. So anyway, he bought like this limited edition CD. You know how it is with releases now that, like, you got a poster or something signed and it hadn't arrived, or I'd already got some of it, but not the rest. He's like, I got the CD, where's the other stuff? I'm not being a dick here. And he's like, I'm not lying. And the guy who was emailing was like, I mate, if you had the time in your day to lie about this, then, you know, bless you. And all this stuff. So the guy replied back, said, like, sorry that you've not having the time getting this and all this stuff. And there went, like, a few other emails that were positive and said, like, look, we're touring Carlisle soon. If you're around, like, gives a, like, you know, let us know and I'll come talk to you. So like that. And my dad's like, all right, whatever. Just thinking it's the merch guy. And at the bottom says Arthur Brown. Like, it's in the main dude in the crazy world of Arthur Brown, who has to be in his late 60s, maybe even his 70s now. So he's just chatting along with me dad because he gave a fuck. And it's nice to see that. Old as Arthur Brown.
It's crazy. It's like they're normal people. Just
my
like
God in heaven. Breaking news. He's 83.
Ooh, that makes my back hurt.
Still touring, still being a nice guy. Good for him. That's what I want to be.
Yeah, we never talked about Botchamania. I kind of fucked that up.
Oh, what no, is sorry. I thought we were just, I honestly thought this was like a post-mag thing that me and you were going to be talking about.
It's an everything thing.
I will get right back on track.
I don't know what it is. I'm just chatting with, I don't know. I figure if we're talking, I should bring up the thing that you're known for.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm trying at this point in my life to make it sound interesting.
I have an interview with Botchamania and we don't discuss wrestling at all.
Yeah, cool. Great. The best interview I've ever done. Because I stopped doing interviews, like, or podcasts and stuff like that. It was only like last year for this worst wrestling podcast that was well put together and I liked it. It was the first one I've done in fucking ages because I just got sick of people, first of all, asking me the same questions. And I get it, you know, you've got to do like, who are you? Why are you watching me? But I'm just like, I'm not really into this. I'm trying to make it more of a thing in my life to like stop faking it. You know, you teach yourself as you're going through life, and obviously if you're making a name for yourself online, you have to be like, hi, everybody. You'd be a politician, basically. Good point to every bad take you read. I'm like, nah. Do you know how tiring and exhausting that is? But I also just want to be a fucking arsehole for the sake of being an arsehole, because that also loses it to lure. Yeah, you can. Yeah, that's the thing. You can do it. And then people go, thank you for being British to me. You're like, no. I can't tell people I don't like to piss off. But Botchmania is a thing that I did when I was bored, and it's been carrying on filling those little gaps, those little slices of my life ever since. I take the bits of wrestling where things don't go quite right, hopefully without them properly injuring themselves, of course. I'm not that big of a cunt. And putting little video game music over it. This dumb little concept has been keeping itself self-sustaining, like a worm's diet, for nearly 20 years now.
I mean, it because probably wrestlers, helps because wrestlers constantly still fuck up every week.
Right. Botchmania will stop when everyone stops fucking up. But the nature of the beast means it will, you know, be going on for a while. Until they start doing AI wrestling where they probably have to edit out the botches. We don't even need to edit out the botches because
they'll just clip through each other.
Yeah.
And out of the ropes and then through the crowd and never come back.
Yeah. Sponsored by Saudi Arabia, appearing in the bottom. all the letters are misspelled, but you know what words it's saying.
It's Riyadh season.
I say Saudi Arabia because I say the word it come up and I go, I never say Riyadh. R-I-D-D. Yeah, whatever.
For the longest time, I was like, Ryda?
Yeah, right.
Rydia?
That's why they brought Cardona back.
The girl from Final Fantasy IV, Rydia?
That's good. That was a good one. It's better than my Zack Ryder reference. I said, yeah, that's why he's Cardona. There's only one Ryder. Jeff Nicholas, or Jack Nicholas even, he can win the Ryder Cup. Oh, look at me trying to name a non-Tiger Woods. Yeah, a non-Tiger Woods. Oh, sorry, that's where my brain went. Yeah, there you go. I'm clearly still suffering from the after effects. I do apologize for completely nonsense. I would have done that if I was sober anyway.
I want to try some of that.
Zack Ryder challenging at Ryder for the Ryder Cup. Here he comes. Easy Rider plays in the background.
Can he golf? Can Cardona golf?
No, but you should see his box. doesn't work at all. No, doesn't.
It's filled with wrestling figures.
He'd probably do something like he'd sellotape a bunch of the 80s ones that they've started just putting out where they can only pose like that.
It's just a solid hunk of rubber.
Yeah.
You like throw down the road and it just bounces and rolls and then a car runs over it a bunch of times and it's fine.
This is Darby Allin matches. No, those are the first line. What were the second? I should be doing this when I'm awake. The second one of them, like in like mid-80s WWF. Yeah, Teddy BRC in the green jacket. I had that one. The Rockers. And two versions of Hogan. One where he's just flexing like that. And the other one where he's flexing like that.
I never had too many figures as a kid. I had Ninja Turtles.
Which Ninja Turtles figures did you have? Because when I was getting into them, it was during the later stages when they were making some of the weirdest concepts for an action figure I've ever seen. I had superhero Donatello, I think.
I think I got out when they were doing the samurai ones. I know I started when they were still doing the rubber heads.
What do you mean?
Like they started out doing rubber heads that can like kind of squish, but then they changed it over to hard plastic.
Oh, I don't remember those ones originally.
Yeah.
God. I'm going to have to look and see if there's a list of just all the Ninja Turtle action figures. Because I think a lot of action figure series had these where toy companies would come up with these. And then if they had some resemblance to the product, they wouldn't matter. Kids will buy them. Because I had like some Batman action figures that were like, Batman's ready with his lunar assault outfit. I'm like, Batman went to the moon? Yeah, sure, whatever, you know. It's like, maybe not, but he's ready for it if he does go. Was that like laser firing Batman? And you're like, okay, that's one way of dealing with the Joker, I guess. To use a hospital laser on him. So I had those, but like the Ninja Turtles, I guess, they just kept on making weird things. It seems like it just burned itself out.
Damn, I think that kind of crazy.
I'm trying not to get distracted. Why was I talking about that? All right, yeah, that's, I'm getting distracted. That's the thing I'll have to look at later on. I'll show you a picture of it later on, and you'd be like, all right, cool. That wasn't worth derailing a podcast over, Matthew. Yeah, Zach Ryder will probably stick a bunch of action figures and then hit somebody with a golf club. The end. That's the end of that bit. Now back to reality. Yeah, so wrestling will carry on being full of mistakes and things, and I will still be here making my dumb little jokes and Simpsons references and being quite happy. I don't know what made it so universal, but I'm here for it.
Comedy, man. Everyone loves comedy. And video game music.
Like seeing dudes fall over.
Now, yes. I still remember first meeting you at MAGFest, and you found out I was the Bound Together guy, and you were just like, oh, could I use some of your songs in my Botchamanias? I'm like, oh my God, yes, you could use my songs in your Botchamania.
Oh, bless you.
I was so excited when you asked me.
Yeah, the MAGFest attitude is just, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, trying to mark out for one another. And I spent most of last year not doing that with, the Arcadian, Stemmage, Beardo, you know, all these people. I'm like, oh, hi. Oh, and D, it turned out, the lovely D who stayed in our room underneath the desk, bless him, because there's no room. We're talking afterwards. It's like, oh, so what do you do? Well, I know you do OCR. So what did you do? And had a look. And it's like, oh my God, you did this. You did the Kefka versus Kafka song, that the bad dudes did. It's like, oh my God, I didn't know you did that. I love that song. I've listened to that so many times. And she was like, oh, stop it. That was mostly somebody else. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, D's a good.
So it's nice. Person. We get to be politely, you know. I like to think of MAGFest as, you know, when like, you see Western films and like, look over there, it's Billy the Kid. Oh, I see him. You know, that little hat thing they do. That's what we're all doing with one of the. But inside, I'm like, oh my God, that's so-and-so. That's the Bound Together dude. I hope he's not a dick in real life.
Fuck you, Matthew. Oh, he is a dick.
Yay! He's a dick. He's a dick.
I hope the Botchmania guy is not a dick. Fuck you, Joe Cam.
Oh, yes. Get the fuck away from me.
All these years later, still here. I do love the fact that you were probably one of our earliest guests on the SML podcast. I think you came on like episode 50 something when it was me and Chris Huber doing it. And we just talked about wrestling for an episode and then like nothing for 12 years, but you're back.
Oh, nothing but loveliness and friendship.
That's the beauty of you living in Europe and me being in America. Scheduling is a bitch.
It is. You know, only for you I would do this right now in the state I'm in. Anybody else would just talk off or pretend I can't hear them because I'm going through a tunnel.
Beautiful. I appreciate that you do this for me. You're a good, you're good peoples, Matthew. You are good peoples.
Well, it was or install High Guard.
What are you playing these days? What games are you fucking around with?
Oh, well, I finally got a PS5 to see what I was missing out on. Now there's actually games, and also because my brother and his mates like play it, so I want to get good at Astrobot and humiliate them with my amazing time trialness. What a fucking game.
Astrobot's amazing.
I can't remember the last time I played it doesn't really fit, but a mascot platformer. And also, I can't remember the last time I played one that was this good. So, yeah. And I wasn't ready for... I had my, Bluetooth headset ready. Like, oh, I'll really immerse myself and also play it really loud so I don't disturb my neighbors. I don't want to be a dick. And then the pad started talking to me. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I need to listen to my pad. This is before the mushrooms. So, that was nice. So the noise, the atmosphere and the design, everything, that's been what I've been playing recently and just marking out a little bit by going, oh my God, look, it's Jumping Flash. Oh my God, Azrael from Soul Reaver.
Dude, all the cameos in that game are awesome.
Yeah.
They did such a good job with Astrobot.
They did. Also, Incredible Cube shows up, which I'm like, I remember that game. I played the demo so much.
Isn't it Kuro Final or something like that in Europe? Or in, I don't know, something like that. I thought Europe had a weird name for Intelligent Cube.
Ooh, maybe you're right. But when you say like that, I think of Kuru 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 in the Game Boy Advance game where you control a stick.
Yes.
Which is Japanese for tumbling that one and tumbling too. And tumbling, I believe, yeah.
I miss Kuru, the days Kuru, of batshit crazy Japanese cubes. Games.
Yeah.
Mr. Mosquito, Guitaru Man. Oh, I love Guitaru Man.
Yeah. Proper the Rapper, everything's flat, and there's Chop Chop Master Onion. It was so at Magfest. There was a guy dressed as him.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
Did you get a picture?
I certainly did.
Hell yeah.
which is good for this audio podcast we're doing. But yeah, Kick Punch, it's all in the mind. If you trust me, test me, I'm sure you'll find the things that teach you. Be sure. Fucked it up. Never mind. I'll go right.
You know, kick.
I'm going to teach you now. Kick.
Kick, 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 kick. Punch. Punch.
What a game. Yeah, I like those levels and designs now. I'm glad that the thing like Steam for the small indie games can do that type of really out there stuff. But also, time, play Astrobot. So that's what I've been playing then. What else? Red Alert 2, play that again, because Steve Yerko was at Magfest. He's a lovely guy who I've talked to about One Piece for years, and he likes wrestling, so I was like, oh, cool, we'll talk about stuff and be friends. Met him, and he said, oh, you've been talking to my brother on Discord. I went, thinking, I don't know your brother. Wouldn't he have your surname in the thing? It turns out it was some other dude with like a username, I won't say, in case he's wanting the publicity, but I was like, oh, you're Steve's brother? I had no idea. And all I've been doing is talking to his brother about his Command & Conquer Red Alert 2 for like ages. And he wants to do it the online version. So I've been secretly playing at the game to remind myself how to play so it doesn't wipe the floor with me. And of course, I've been playing it and going, he's going to wipe the floor with me anyway. I struggle to beat Yuri. Yeah, so those two games. Also, I got my dad Balatro.
Balatro,
whatever you Americans call it. Yeah, I thought he might like it because all he plays is fucking Candy Crush or variants of that, and that's a longer thing. And he sent me a message earlier today going, son, I'm not very good at this. And I said, dad, it's okay, you're supposed to. It's supposed to be Balatro, as long as you're enjoying it. And he said, son, I'm not enjoying it. It's shite.
Right, Clover Pit. I couldn't into Balatro, but I had a great time with Clover Pit. I couldn't get into the poker aspect of Balatro. I don't know. That one didn't click with me, but Clover Pit was a blast. A slot machine version of the same style of gameplay. Anything coming up this year you're looking forward to?
Existing. It's making it sound like I'm trying to be a smart ass, but genuinely, no. Also Germany, which hopefully exists, in March for VXV 16 carat. Looking forward to seeing my German friends, along with the English and Irish and Polish friends, who all meet up. We all wore cowboy hats last year to show our support for one called Manders, and he fucking won. There's pictures of us all wearing cowboy hats. We all went to the one little German dress-up place, Halloween store, that was in the area. We all kept on buying hats, and the woman was like, "What is that? What is the hats? The hats?" And we said, "Pro wrestling." And she's like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." Like, very dismissive, like, "I don't want to talk to you anymore. Get out of my shop. Thank you for the money."
Weirdos.
Right. And she's surrounded by outfits of, you know, Roman centurions. But I...
So, what do you think of the current wrestling scene? What are you enjoying and what are you not enjoying?
I am enjoying the amount of it. Plenty to enjoy, and the fact that there are alternatives. They're easily found. Don't like WWE? Absolutely not a problem. Watch AEW? Don't like that? You can watch don't watch TNA.
Yeah,
don't. You can find Major League Wrestling, all the indies, the stuff from Japan, the Yoshi, the Lucha, the good Lucha, not Triple R, it's dead now.
Did you watch the debut AMC show for TNA?
I did.
It's so
funny because obviously I've been doing, I've been doing what I've been doing for so long. People are like calling it worst episode ever. And I'm like, oh, right. Again, talking about thinking about how people are coming up in different ages and things like that. This is going to be a bunch of young people's first time they've seen a legendarily shit show. It's their Heroes of Wrestling, their Mania 27, whatever.
I was saying the biggest crime with their show wasn't that it was bad, it was that it was boring.
That was one thing, and also I just watched it going, this is supposed to be the alternative to alternative. All I've heard from people towards the end of last year was WWE and TNA stopping their relationship, blah, blah, blah. Then watch this, and all I fucking saw was either ex-WWE people or NXT people. So I'm like going, well, what's this alternative? How can this be an alternative if it's just like the things that aren't good enough for the WWE main roster? It's like, why would you tell people this? You'd show them what's different about your product, and it was just Santino and talking, and then them struggling to get over the fact that Leon Slater couldn't make it because he allegedly had visa issues, but then was, you know, happened to be in the right place at the right time for SmackDown.
Hey, that worked out.
Wow, what a goinky dink.
Hey, they got also AJ seven Styles people leaving.
AJ Styles came up and said, "How you doing, fellow kids?" and then left. before the stink got on him. And then, yeah, Jake something, Killer Kelly, the Rascals, somebody else I'm forgetting. Yeah, all off the card. It's like, great.
All gone.
Yeah, main event was okay. Once you stop laughing at Kazarian being the TNA champion. Because he's been giving interviews. It's like, I felt wasted in AEW. It's like, bitch, you're nearly 50. And you won the tag team belts when there was only like three belts in the company. And I like you, but not everyone's going to be a main event, dude.
Kazarian, I don't know. I like the guy, but he's not a main event guy for me. Santana, he deserved it.
Yeah, right.
Santana, they dropped the ball with him so many times that it didn't feel important when he won it this time.
Yeah, I call him C+ Arian.
C+. That is awful.
Yeah, but I love Santana. I'm very happy that he's doing well. Because, again, one of my mates from back home went to Manchester to see Progress. And it was, what was their tag team name? Jesus, I'm getting bad now. What was that? Wow, I can't believe I'm forgetting this. Anyway, watch them. And they were very, very great against, who was it? Chris Brooks and somebody else, maybe Gresham, I think. And yeah, so my mate was watching going, wow, these guys are amazing. Santana Ortiz, whatever their names are, they're amazing. They're great. And afterwards I went, oh, it's good. And they were like, oh my God, it's Matthew. And they're like, almost like bowing practically. Like, oh my God, it's the Bosch guy.
Proud and powerful. Oh my God, was that it?
That was their AEW name. I'm trying to remember what they had. Was it just Santana and Ortiz? That can't be right. Now I'm getting old. But yeah, my mate back from back home was just like, they were starstruck to see you And then his main event did. I went, yeah. And he still talks about it. I saw him at Christmas. He's like, remember when Santana Ortiz marked out for a year? I was like, oh, yeah, I remember.
That's cool.
But yeah. It's also very good on the mic and in the ring and everything else. So, yeah, so there's TNA. Yeah. Whatever. There's other stuff you can watch. I'm not really watching that much out of the main roster, main stuff. GC Dub, I sometimes dip in and out, but like they put on 100 shows a week. So I'm like, all right, I'll get back to you.
My problem with GCW is so many times they'll announce a main event, like Matt Tremont versus fucking Effie. And then the match happens and someone runs in the first 2 seconds and it becomes a tag match.
Right. And I get why they're doing that in terms of storyline and stuff, because again, they're almost making it episodic, the amount of shows they're doing. But yeah,
they just like, do watch a big so stupid indie often. Event.
Yeah. And do you want to watch Matt Cardona main event?
From them. I like Blake really. Christian. I'm glad he's moving up on Ring of Honor. Vanilla baby.
Oh. I haven't seen him I haven't seen him do much in ages. Is he doing good?
Yeah, him and Lee Johnson are the swirl in Ring of Honor. Yes.
Oh, I remember him
the
now. Yeah,
swirl.
Yeah.
Vanilla baby. Part of the swirl.
Well, I'm just hungry now. We don't have Sonic in this country.
That's a bummer.
No, we do, but he's too busy being an inflation art. So yeah, I'm glad that he's doing well. But I remember just him doing that promo after he left NXT, and he was doing that promo in GC Dub, and it went on for ages, and he tried sitting next to someone, almost on top of them. And the guy's like, you don't know my struggles, man. And the guy was just like, shut the fuck up. And then like did the clapping on Blake Christian.
I didn't see that. That's beautiful.
It was brutal. So these things like when I was on Twitter, everyone was like, yo, have you seen this?
Good Lord.
It really was I miss my wife tales. I miss my wife moment.
Oh, I love it. Wrestling is so dumb and it's so entertaining, and I'm glad that it brings us together along with some other friends of ours. It is always fun to spend an evening or an afternoon watching pay-per-views with you guys, you, Adam, Dave, Matt, Tim, Vicky. It's just a blast hanging out with you guys and farting around and playing with our stupid ass soundboard.
Hell yeah.
I love our soundboard.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. I can't believe you're playing the anthem. Just Jesus, completely flawed and derailed there.
God damn right.
the fuck was I even talking about? All I imagine is you chasing me and fast forward. Matthew, drop that edible. Never. The thing that
Matthew's coming on the podcast.
You better get your balls ready.
The thing that people don't talk about when it comes to wrestling is like it brings people together from all over the world to enjoy. My face hurts from smiling. I'll have to stop smiling now. Oh no, I'm smiling even harder. It brings people again from all over the world to enjoy it. Because if it's good, we can all enjoy it and go, wow, that was good. If it sucks, we could all go, you see that shit.
Oh, love it. Oh, man. Matthew, I know you've been chatting for quite a while. I guess we could wrap this up. I want to thank you for spending an hour chatting with me and just catching up. It was an absolute pleasure hanging out with you at MAGFest. Hopefully we could do it again next year, and hopefully it's sooner than a decade before we get you back on SML.
Hell yeah. Very happy to have been a small part of the worst episode of the SML podcast. Yes, I do apologize. I don't apologize. I told you what I'd be like. But I'm very happy to know you, sir. Thank you very much for being a friend. I think this whole started today because I sent you a message going, thank you for being a friend, Joe, and taking this little, not mind altering, but mind readjusting or reminding thing was that, like, remind yourself to check on the good people, let them know that they're valued, and hopefully they'll feel as good as you do right now.
You are an important guy to me. I've known you for a long time, and I hope to continue knowing you for a long time to come. Cannot wait to see the next videos you put up. I still think my hole should be on one of those.
Gonna bug you. This is what this is for, isn't it?
Until adrenaline in my hole makes it.
Oh, okay then, Joe.
Come on, that's a good one. I don't have many good ideas. That was a good one.
It was. The thing was, it was just done by a few, and then people hate when I say this, but it was done by a few of the people at the time.
Oh, so other I'll wait for a bit,
and I'll just do it again. Yeah, but then I can just wait and just do it again, and be like, "Well, it's their first time sending it."
You still need to do. I talk too much with Ishii not saying anything.
That was a good joke. Thank you for reminding me of that. You talk too much. Hopefully,
you never step. Yeah. Told you our soundboard's insane.
Yeah, like Benny Hill, you're gonna make me run, DMC.
All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break. We are going to listen to a little bit of Muzak. Maybe I'll play some Fox Sports from the Tiberian Suns. What do you think?
Yay.
Yay.
Yay, do it. Yay.
But we'll do that, and we'll be back with more show. Matthew.
We're supposed to be the studio. We're supposed to be the bit of Pee-wee. Am I supposed to be Pee-wee Herman's couch? Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
So yeah, we'll be right back with more show. Matthew, thank you so much for joining. Do you have any final words to end this?
Fucking bullshit.
You know, we have a button for
that's also right? The review. Oh, here it comes.
I can't find the fucking button.
Go on, Cheeky. Wake up.
Fucking bullshit!
Good job, Cheeky. You can go back to bed.
These are beautiful Japanese women.
Cheeky, don't. Cheeky, no, cut his mic.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. Another big thanks to Mafu for coming on, chatting with me about literally everything but Botchamania at this point. But got a couple of reviews we got to tackle. Bree and Aki are here. How are you two?
Pretty good.
Doing good. You doing good? Enjoying your Tuesday for whatever reason we're doing this?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm confused as fuck because I'm doing two shows on a Tuesday and it's not even six.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I wasn't doing anything today originally.
Well, that'll teach you from, you know, taking the day off for once.
Yeah, that'll teach me to be like, hey, want to do a podcast? My buddy's like, sure. Now I'm here. So.
All right.
Yeah. You want to tackle some reviews?
Let's do it. Let's do this.
Oh, hey, your camera works.
Yay, I got it working. Woohoo. We got three games and a piece of dog shit to talk about tonight. I'm not going to say which is which. You'll be able to figure that out by the end of the show.
Yes, you will.
I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that. But we are angry with the game, and you'll hear why. But that's
yes, you will.
I think I know which one now, based on the list I just saw. Yeah.
First game to talk about: Winnie's Hole. Is this After Dark, Aki?
No, but it really should be.
Should we play the clip?
Yes.
Okay.
SML After Dark.
Yay. Yeah. Winnie's Hole, developed and published by Twice Different, released January 26th on Steam Early Access for $14.99. Join Winnie on a new adventure from within. What? Plays a virus in his body and mind. Oh my god, what the? Capture cells to mutate and build a deck of actions to unleash in combo-driven combat. A genre-blending roguelite with a dark yet charming story. Embrace discomfort. Sometimes we can't help being seen as a monster. Aki, I'm scared. What the hell is this game?
Well, this is based on Winnie the Pooh.
So cute.
And one day he wakes up with a big old mouth in his chest. And it's hungry and ready to consume. All the people see him as a monster. And he's just trying to get some help while slowly losing what little bit of a mind this dumbass has. Because it is Winnie the Pooh. Everyone remember, he is about as smart as a donut. But I don't want to insult the donut.
I'm hungry for a donut.
Yeah, I want donuts so bad. But everyone sees him as a monster and decides they're going to attack him, so he defends himself. And he does that through various actions in the game. Sorry, my nose is all stuffed up.
Sucks for you. Ha!
I know. It's fucking misery inducing. Oh, yes, I am.
What?
Incredibly misery inducing, and that's okay. But basically, during combat, you have all of these actions that you can do, but they're tied to this grid that has a randomized shape every playthrough. And you're given basically these little Tetris blocks that you put on them. You get four of them at a time, and you can pick whichever of the four you want. And you place it on the grid, and whatever actions it touches, it does. Sometimes some of these actions are stuff that are like, hey, yeah, this increases the strength of your attacks. So if you get that on the grid and you put that, and it gets covered, and so do a couple of your attacks. All your attacks do more that you have it covered, do more damage. However, it's also based on what order everything's in. So it starts from top and goes to bottom and left to right. So if you have an attack and then something that increases the attacks and then two more attacks, those other two attacks, I believe, are the only ones that get increased, not the first one. So yeah. after every turn, the whole grid gets reset with new abilities, and you have whatever blocks that you haven't already used yet. All while you're getting your ass just completely kicked by the enemy, because this game is made very much for you to die over and over and over again. So you can slowly build up points that you've made through playing the game to get some permanent unlocks very slowly through just every time you either succeed or fail the game.
Roguelite progression, whee!
Exactly. You do eventually apparently unlock multiple different parasites that give you different abilities and stuff. I haven't gotten that far because it is very hard to actually beat this game. And I haven't just died enough to get to that point. But you're basically just trying to pick a pathway, because there are various pathways to get to the end, to hopefully either be king of the woods or get cured, or who knows. You just don't know. And yeah, that's the combat aspect of it, but there's also the infection aspect. The infection aspect is you see the inside of Winnie's brain, and it should be mostly an empty void, but it somehow isn't. And in it, you also get a bunch of Tetris blocks. And there are pathways throughout the brain connecting to specific larger areas. And you'll notice those right away, because most of it's just pathway. And then there's like a big chunk of something off to the side and so on and so forth. And you're trying to get to one of those because those give you a big boost in your capabilities. Either it'll give you a mutation that you can add, or it'll give you an upgrade that you can get, something like that. But along that pathway, there's also red cells, blue cells, and some other stuff that you can collect.
And a partridge. Wrong season.
Basically. And those cells are what upgrade your abilities and stuff throughout the game, as well as anytime you're on this infection screen, the more of the blue ones that you have in total, I think the rare things will show up, and the red ones, I think, make more of the red and blue both show up, and I believe that's during the infection phase. I'm not really sure, because it doesn't explain it super well.
I like that they call this game bodybuilding in the worst way.
It is, because every one of the mutations that you obtain changes Winnie's physical appearance. So you might get a mutation that allows you to slash at enemies. Well, he gets a giant crab pincer sticking off of his body. Or maybe he is able to take more damage. That's because he just got a big old lump of, like, a giant tumor on his body to protect his body. Or maybe he does more punching damage. So he's grown another arm. And they're just kind of randomly placed on his body. So he becomes very monstrous looking very quickly, and it's really fucking cool, actually. You do get to meet the other characters from Winnie the Pooh as well, so the only one I haven't seen is Tigger, which has upset me so far.
Maybe in due time.
Hopefully.
The game is in early access right now. They plan to be in early access for about a year-ish. The current game has two regions that you can play through to completion, with 5+ unlockable virus strains, 50+ research recipes, 100+ perks, 150+ mutations. What do you think of the game in this state? It is at $14.99 right now. They do say the price will increase as they hit major updates. Not sure if those will be roadmapped or if they will be broadcast when the price increases. But right now, you could get in at $14.99. And even better, before the 9th, February 9th, it's $12.74. You could get in even cheaper. Is this something people should keep their eyes on, wish list, get in on now? I guess on a scale of 1 to what the fuck, how does this rate?
This is so what the fuck, and they need to go get it right now. This is a fantastic game. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time with this, actually. It is just great.
Very good. Yeah, this one looks, what's the word?
Fucking amazing.
The word.
That was unique.
There we go.
Oh, I hate you.
Next game, Decolate Decoration, developed by Kanekodo, published by Kemco, released January 22nd on Steam for $8.99. This is a point-and-click command selection-style adventure game where the protagonist is a girl who has become a ghost. The objective is to fulfill her desires by speaking to her beloved him, causing poltergeists visiting in dreams, or even cursing. Aki, what is going on in this one? This doesn't sound like the usual Kemco fare.
It is not. In this, you play as a young ghost girl, and she used to be alive, obviously, and she was in love with this guy. Nondescript what's-his-face number 12, I guess. And she decides, oh, I'm gonna go visit him, and then she can't. She can't interact with him. He doesn't know she's there or anything. And she's like, oh no, I don't like this. I can't go through my existence without him. I need to get him to see me, to hang out with me. He needs to get to my side. So this entire game is really just her trying to find a way to get him to kill himself.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty great or like that. And when it says this is a command style, a selection game, that means basically you have 7 turns in this game, and each turn you can choose to do one of 4 actions. And I can't remember all of them off the top of my head. Give me a second. Okay, there they are. And those actions are to try and talk with him, which is just literally her just trying to speak with him. Dream, where she goes and interacts with him when he's asleep, and she kind of forces herself into his dreams. Curse, where she curses him, literally. And poltergeist, where she tries to move things around in the building, typically the knife that she carries, because she wants to stab him, I guess. I don't know. And yeah, you end up with 7 weeks in game is what you're given, which is just 7 turns because you can only do 1 action, and then you get so tired that you have to rest for a week. And man, it's yeah.
Exhausting being a ghost, I guess. Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm gonna talk. I'm exhausted. See you next week. Okay, Jacob.
Exactly. Exactly. You understand. We all here understand because Jacob exists. But when you're doing command selection style games, basically there is a grouping of those that end up working, and you just have to figure out which ones to string together to get an action to actually be noticed. And this, there are 5... I believe 5 different endings, or 8 endings, 6. One or the other. 6, okay.
6 endings. The store page says the game can go about 1 to 2 hours with 15 minutes per ending, 6 endings total, and then there are also side stories with the prologue and the epilogue, which can add about an hour-ish depending on your choices and pace.
Yeah, basically, there's 3 bad endings, 2 good endings, and a true ending to the game.
Cartridge. I mean,
yeah, basically. And after you've beaten the game at least once, I don't know if you have to get a specific ending, you unlock the prologue. And after you get all the different endings, you unlock the epilogue. If you go into the prologue, it completely changes the game altogether. It becomes more of a visual novel style game, and I haven't actually gotten through it. It gets like where you can interact. It's a point and click visual novel. I haven't beaten it yet because it takes a lot longer. So I haven't actually touched the epilogue yet because I wanted to do the prologue first because it's, you know, a prologue.
How stories were. Yeah.
Yeah. But basically all the achievements are this are get XYZ ending and then going through the prologue and then just some for surviving a certain amount of days. Because different choices you make can actually get like Buddhist monks to come by and purify you as well. So you have to be careful.
All right. Well, let's talk price on this one. It is $8.99, which is not bad for a Kemco game. It is on sale until the 4th, so you have about a week to get in on this for $674, 25% off, $9, full price. What do you think of this?
I'm thinking this is probably about 2 to 3 hours worth of content, so that seems like a pretty good price point, and I really enjoyed the game, so I'm very for it. However, if you know, you don't like the concept of suicide or anything, maybe probably not the game for you, but otherwise, I think it's great.
All right. Next up, Tavern Manager Simulator, developed by One More Time, published by Ultimate Games. Codes given to us to give away by Ultimate Games. Thank you, Ultimate. Love having you donate codes to us to hand out to our wonderful audience who are hanging out with us tonight. We'll be giving away codes shortly. Again, developed by One More Time, published by Ultimate Games, released February 13th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $19.99. Tavern Manager Simulator is an exciting process of rebuilding, expanding, and improving a tavern. Take different approaches to running an establishment and meet the challenges of the outside world to create your own unique story.
Bree, hey.
What is Tavern Manager Simulator?
So this is a first-person medieval tavern renovator and service-style simulator. It has pouring minigames, cleaning, decorating, and more.
What kind of minigames?
Pouring.
Oh. I did not hear that.
Nor did I. Pouring. No, I heard porning.
Yeah, I heard porn minigames. I heard porn minigames.
Oh, no. Pouring, like pouring beer into a mug.
I am significantly less interested.
I know. All right. So you start out the game with a boarded up tavern that needs your help. And we clean up the boards and the trash. And we also need to keep the tavern clean or customers might up and leave. But we immediately get tutorials as we approach new concepts. The tutorials are pretty clear. You also get quests that help you know what to tackle next, like cleaning the tavern, mopping, getting rid of junk, and so on. You also need to supply your tavern with resources and buy things to improve the place, and you do that from your tavern management desk. You have to order ale and collect your delivery from the cart outside and bring it to your warehouse area. You get to name your tavern and make your sign.
Art of a Black.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I found Art of a Black Cat playing a recorder, and I got an auto generation to name my tavern the Black Drum. It's nice. Just close to Durham, so, and it was a black cat. That's what I went with. Yeah, so we'll just believe that there's a tavern cat around here somewhere. You know, I wish I could have put a cat in my tavern. That would have been great, but I couldn't. You'll also have to manage. Yeah, you have to manage daily activities like ordering ale, opening and closing the tavern, cleaning, serving customers. There's a day-night cycle where you have less clients late at night, but you can close your tavern by simply flipping the sign out front to close or open. The game is and isn't super detailed. Like, there's plenty of things to do, but it's not overwhelmingly burdensome either. You need to wash dishes at the end of the day. You'll need to bucket some water from the well first. The mini games like washing dishes and pouring drinks and cleaning toilets are pretty simple. And it's an outhouse that you have to clean. You have to like plunge the outhouse, which is kind of silly to me, but whatever. And since you're going to be balancing a lot of things over the game, I thought it was pretty nice that the game was not like super, you know, fast paced and needing to do things constantly. You can actually like turn the sign around and just take the time to clean your dishes and stuff. There's a reputation system as well, and you want to pour your beer well, keep things clean, serve quickly to get that reputation up. Talking with your patrons about the local gossip is fun and gives you reputation as well. Each level of tavern you build opens new opportunities. So you get more space to decorate and fill with tables and decorations. You get an outhouse, as I mentioned, that you got to keep clean. You get more food and drink options to manage. Like you get sausages and steak and soup and one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. I don't know. Like it was just a whole thing shouting out orders the whole time going, you'll have to deal with rowdy drunkards. Like it's a lot of fun. Kind of just bumbling around managing your tavern. And once you get your tavern up to level 4, you can hire fairy workers. You can give them lodging first, though, and then you can set them to do certain tasks like wash your dishes, clean up the bar area for you so you can focus on talking to customers, and managing your inventory, stuff like that.
Can they pour drinks for you?
They can. They don't pour the drinks. They can pick up the drinks and serve them to the customer. The pouring mechanics, really simple and easy, honestly. Your fairies also gain XP for doing jobs over and over. So the longer you keep one fairy on the job, the better they get at it. The fairies need to eat, though. So you have to buy fairy dust for them and replenish the stock at their treehouse to keep them happy. There's constant progression in this game, whether it's something small inside the upgrades menu or getting reputation to unlock tavern tasks and ranks, and you get to make all kinds of exciting new additions to your tavern, like adding cooking, which requires you to chop wood. You can grill stuff where you have to chop the steaks and like tenderize them and then stoke the fire and flip the meat. I think there's like 16 levels of tavern to work towards. You get quests all the time that help motivate you in the right direction to take advantage of new features you've unlocked, and the quests reward you really well. You can avoid these quests, though, and slow down your progression if you feel you need to, and just, like I said, you can kind of just shut down the store and clean things up and do whatever you want in the time you need, or you can make it fast-paced and kind of do it how you want. If you're designing your furniture and decorations of the bar, sometimes quests will be like, oh, you have to put this down, but you can change your mind and move things around whenever you want. There's multiple sizes of tables for different guests' party sizes. There's different categories of decorations you can use to jazz up the place. You can put things on walls. There was a surprising amount of things that came out of what I would consider like an Old West style setting, but whatever, like cactus was legitimately the first thing I put down as a decoration. I don't know why cactus and medieval came together, but here we are. There are also special characters that show up when you need water or money to like manage them. And then you can have thieves that you hit with a frying pan. You have to unlock the frying pan first, though. And there's actually a living world outside your tavern to explore with secrets to find and like fun fantasy references. The game auto saves, but you can also manually save. There's a couple of good options in there, like you have the ability to turn off controller vibrations, disable head sway, and invert Y.
I know.
The graphics and music are pleasant. I like the lighting colors in the day-night cycle. I think if I had one complaint about the game, it was that the menus were sometimes a little finicky. Like, there were button choices that were seemingly consistent between menus, and sometimes like it felt like they weren't super responsive, and other times they were. And then there was like in the upgrade menu, it was hard to see what I had selected. Not game breaking at all, just like mildly irritating. So
I could use a quality of life upgrade. Okay.
Yeah, like a tiny bit. But this was a really satisfying game with simple controls, good tutorial, clear progression to the medieval tavern of my dreams. I didn't feel like there was a lot of tedium to this game, or that I was grinding too hard to get to my intended goals. Like, it did have a kind of endgame of sorts where you just can't upgrade anymore, and the game loop just kind of feels pointless at that point. But I feel like all Sim games have something along those lines.
No.
I had a hard time putting this one down.
Question for you.
Yes.
How easy is the 100% on this?
I would say pretty easy, honestly. Like, it'd probably take you like 20 hours, but I would say it's pretty easy.
Did you get the 1K?
I did not yet. I had to, as much as I didn't want to put it down, I had to, because I have other games I need to like pay attention to this week. But that's been my go-to like relaxing thing in between games. So yeah.
Very cool. Well, for $20, your official verdict on Tavern Manager Simulator.
Heck yeah. The price is good. It was my favorite player of the week so far. Absolutely buy it.
Very good. Again, we will have giveaway copies during the stream later on, courtesy of Ultimate Games, who are always nice enough to throw us a couple of extra keys for all of y'all. So thank you, Ultimate Games. Everyone say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One final game to talk about. Mosaica Arboreal, developed and published by RimPow, released January 24th on Steam for $6.99. If Diablo and Cookie Clicker had a cute goblin core baby, an enchanting RPG mosaic puzzle where every mouse click evokes the mysterious power of nature. We have a couple of gripes with this, but first, let's give it a fair, honest review. Aki, without the issue, give us your thoughts on what this game is. Tell us about it.
Well, this game is a game where basically you get a picture and then everything's scrambled together and you have to click a piece to rotate it and flip it to get it aligned where it's supposed to go so that it looks in place, and then you keep doing that until the whole picture is shown to you again, basically. And while you're doing this, you're getting a little bit of XP off to the side that at random will pop up giving you a level up, and you can use that to get a special little ability of sorts. Sometimes that's like, oh, hey, yeah, here's an ability that every so many seconds a wave will come off from your where you're clicking and will help move a bunch of pieces around it in this size of a circle. Things like that. Yeah, there's a handful of those abilities. I think there's like 20-ish. There's some that allow different items that pop up on the screen occasionally. You'll get like some that looks like a trash bag, and you literally pick up trash from a container, basically. And then sometimes you see what looks like a trash can, and that allows you to recycle it to get mulch, which you then turn around and use on a different screen to upgrade the different goddesses, I guess we'll call it, abilities, which aren't super important in the actual game, actually. And then sometimes we'll get different gear and trinkets and stuff like that that we can equip that also augment what abilities we have and what level they are. Like, you might have Green Thumb, which is just your standard clicking ability, and you might find a wand that gives you a plus one to that and allows you to click a little faster or something. Or it might give you altogether a completely brand new ability that you otherwise can't actually even get on the upgrade tree. Things like that. You just play through it until you've gotten through basically all the pictures. And then it's like, oh, you've finished the game, and then it kicks you back to the main menu. You can't just play infinitely from that point forward, sadly. There's that. That's the game. Congratulations.
And that is the game. Based on its own merits, without giving it a verdict, what are your thoughts overall?
There's a lot of problems with the game, and it all has to do with what's outside its merits, I guess we'll call it. So, do we go ahead and talk about that now?
Yeah, it is time to discuss the problem with this game. When we looked it up, we scrolled
down.
Do
a disclosure. You should read the disclosure.
Oh, I'm going to.
Let them see what the disclosure says.
I am getting there. I checked the AI-generated content disclosure on Steam, because we like to avoid things with AI voices, AI music, AI artwork. If there's minimal AI use, it's something we could potentially cover, because we have covered stuff with AI use that we didn't know about until after. This one, the AI content generated disclosure says, generative AI is used in a responsible manner. That is it.
That's it. That's the entire fucking thing.
That's all it says. So we decided to cover it. And then I went into the community forums on Steam, and there's a dev post, and I am going to read this verbatim so that I don't twist any words. Generative AI was used to make this game. A large percentage of that you see, graphic art, was at least touched somehow by generative AI. A lot of code was assisted by generative AI, quote, but no one cares. We could literally not even mention that, like 99% of other developers, and parentheses, are supposed to disclose that. But AI was a big help with the creation of icons. This is a lifesaver for indies. No audio was touched by generative AI. The dialogue trees are fully human. All rigging and animations are fully human. But all AI did was provide material. It was still up to a human to curate it and retouch it and process it in different ways so that it's not slop. I have background in 3D art, so it's very natural that you wait for stuff to render after you done preparing it in some way. Generative AI works like that. I will try to make this post bigger over time with exact explanations of our workflow, especially when it comes to visuals. Cheers, Dom. Yeah. That's not responsible. That's not reasonable. That is a whole fuckload of AI in a game that claims it was used responsibly.
That's also very strictly against Steam's rules, because yes, all of that shit should have been posted in the AI generated content disclosure.
Yes.
And the reason why it should be there, for any of you who are like, oh, that's still posted, who cares? It's because the AI generated content disclosure is on the store page. It's one of the things you see when you're scrolling through the store page where you can buy it. Most people see just that stuff and then choose to buy it or not. The community stuff, you have to go to a different page. Most people only visit that after they've bought a game, usually to be like, oh, I can't find this, or hey, I think this might be a bug. That is 90% of what that stuff is used for. So most people probably aren't going to see what all the AI is used for until after they've bought the game. And because how easy this game is, I don't think people are going to be going in there being like, oh, I think I hit a bug.
It is deceptive how this game is being sold. I'm not happy with the fact that we are covering this because of how much AI use is in the game. We do not agree with AI use at all. We do not want it in games. I want handmade, human-created games.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you find shit like this, where the game codes itself, and it plays like garbage. And then someone, quote, smooths out the bugs, and nothing gets fixed.
Yep. Now we're going to talk about all the problems that I had playing the game.
Go for it,
Aki. Okay, so first and foremost, art is really good, but hey, you'd expect the art to look really good when you've stolen it from like 50 other really good artists and made amalgamation. However, then you get to coding. And wouldn't know something generative AI is really fucking garbage at? It's coding. It's fucking shit at it. So in this, as I said, you have the picture and then it's turned into this grid and you rotate the pieces. And lots of these style games, you rotate them and they rotate usually to where you get like 9 or so clicks for it to make a full circle. This game, it doesn't do that because it's just kind of repositioning it randomly instead. And in most other games, you also have another button that you can click to basically rotate the piece, usually along the x-axis, and then you can rotate it around a circle like you would earlier. Anyways, this game doesn't have that either. Instead, every time you click the little tile, it just randomly moves around however the fuck it feels like it. So I've clicked them, you know, over 10 times before it locked in place. I've clicked it over 20 times to lock it in place. If it had to where it rotated at a certain degree and then there was a flip button and rotated at a certain degree, that would be under 20 fucking clicks. I'm just going to tell you that right now from the amount of these I've played, that's less than 20 clicks. And then the art on it sometimes isn't displaying what it should be. For instance, there was a few times where I saw the art that was being placed on it as I was rotating it that was on another tile close by. It was the exact same art. And I was like, That's not what this is supposed to was supposed to be on this. And then I'd click it in, suddenly the art would change to something else. So yay, great AI art, you know. It's just the coding for AI is just so amazing.
Even in motion, these look so bad. Like the animations I'm looking at on the Steam page are taken out of the game. They're GIFs posted on the Steam page from the dev, and I think they look horrible. They're like poorly made looping GIFs that move unnaturally.
Yeah. Yeah, and the abilities in this game, for some reason, everything has numbers added to it. And I don't understand what those numbers are supposed to be doing. I think it's like how much damage or something the tile's supposed to be taking or something. But there's like, that was just something the generative AI decided to add in there that serves no actual purpose. Because, again, AI is fantastic at making things, clearly.
I think we've spent more time on this game than a lot of people do coding their games. Yeah, I know you can, but it's not worth it. This game is $6.99. Your thoughts on Mosaica or Boreal?
It can go suck a big fat one and fuck itself. So no.
Is that a deny it?
Yeah, that's a very hearty deny it. If any of you
for the record,
please go to its page. You can upvote. I actually did a review on it, a Steam review. You can upvote that as helpful, and you can also go and flag the game. And the best option is to report it for fraud. Just mention how its AI disclosure thing is clearly lying to get people to buy the game. Because Steam will remove this for basically lying in its generative AI thing. So yeah, go report it.
We could hope they will, but who knows?
They've done it before.
I do appreciate the fact that as of right now, your review has 18 people have found it helpful. Two helpful awards, a winner award, and a perfect award.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I didn't actually know that. Holy shit.
It's a shame it's not included in the ratings because, you know, we have to disclose it was received for free. But you know, gotta be honest, it's not good. AI makes it worse. Yep. And the deceptiveness makes it like a whole different level of garbage in my eyes. So if they were honest from the start, we wouldn't have covered it. I would have just skipped it in the first place. So anyway, that's it for this episode. Not a long one. Big thanks to Matthew for coming on, hanging out. Big thanks to you two for coming on, chit-chatting for a little bit and doing a couple of reviews. For Matthew, we're going to do some more Tiberian Suns. Next episode is going to be the MAGFest Spectacular, so drop by for that one. And after that, anniversary. Crazy. 13 years.
God, Jesus.
Damn. We're officially too old for Trump.
Yeah.
We were too old 4 years ago.